The Bible says that Jesus both loved and feared his heavenly Father. How is it possible for a person to fear God and yet have a close personal relationship with him? Our next speaker will answer that question for us. Listen as Brother Trace Twiss from the Pinnacle Ridge Grand Prairie Congregation presents the part, He Was Favorably Heard for His Godly Fear.
So I'd like to ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to have intense love for someone that you fear? What do you think? Well, please turn with me to John chapter 14, and we'll read verse 31 together for the answer. John chapter 14 and verse 31, Jesus says, But for the world to know that I love the Father, I am doing just as the Father has commanded me to do. Get up, let us go from here. So did Jesus love Jehovah? Absolutely. He knew him intimately, understood him. Because of that, he developed an intense love for his Father, a profound reverence, which led him to start fearing him. But fearing him in what sense? Well, was he afraid of Jehovah? No, the scripture says that he loved his Father. But what was he afraid of? Well, it says that he was afraid of not being able to do all that was commanded of him to do. Jesus was afraid of disobeying Jehovah. And this type of fear is called godly fear. It's a healthy, positive feeling of awe and deep respect for Jehovah, a wholesome dread of disappointing, displeasing, or disobeying him. And Jesus was distinguished for having this kind of fear, so much so that he wouldn't let anything or anyone lure him or pressure him into doing even one act of disobedience. And was he successful? Yes, he was. The scriptures say that he always did the things pleasing to Jehovah. But does that mean that it was always easy for him to do? Well, can you think of a time in Jesus' life where in order for him to continue to please Jehovah, he realized he couldn't do it on his own and he had to ask for help? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Now the account in verses 1 to 11 we're familiar with. Here Jesus had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was weak, he was tired, he was hungry, and Satan attacked. Tempted him 3 times. And all 3 times, did Jesus try to fight Satan on his own and just simply say, I repudiate you, Satan? No, what did he do? Every time he said, it is written, and then quoted a scripture. But specifically, whose words did he quote? Well, he quoted from Deuteronomy, and they were all the authoritative words of the imperfect yet inspired man Moses. So Jesus, who was perfect, because he feared Jehovah so much, didn't want to make a mistake, allowed himself to quote the words of an imperfect man. And what was the result? Well, let's read Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, Then the devil left him, and look, angels came and began to minister to him. So the result was he passed the test, and he was further blessed because Jehovah sent angels to help him. He must have been exhausted after that. So what is this quality that Jesus is displaying when we recognize our own limitations? Modesty. If we want to fear Jehovah, we'll have to be modest. But there's an even greater example of Jesus' modesty found for us at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 reads, During his life on earth, Christ offered up supplications and also petitions with strong outcries and tears to the one who was able to save him out of death, and he was favorably heard for his godly fear. So we know Jesus always turned to Jehovah in prayer, but specifically, when did this happen? When he spoke with strong outcries and tears. Well, the final hours of his life on earth Satan saw an opportunity to make an all-out attempt to break Jesus' integrity. In his greatest time of need, what did Jesus do? Did he try to fight, do it on his own? No. He got down on his knees, and with strong outcries and tears, he begged his Father for help. And was he favorably heard? Yes. The scriptures say that Jehovah sent an angel, and it strengthened him. So we learn from Jesus that in order to please Jehovah, sometimes it means that we'll have to ask for and accept help. So we know that godly fear is a modest fear and not a morbid one where we're afraid of Jehovah. But could you ever think of a situation where we might find ourselves actually afraid or terrified of Jehovah? Well, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll read verses 27 to 31. Now, in these five verses, you'll notice that the word fear is used three different times. See if you can discern if it's talking about the morbid kind of fear or the modest kind of fear. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 to 31 reads, "What I tell you in the darkness, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, preach from the housetops, and do not become fearful of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Two sparrows sell for a coin of small value, do they not? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. So have no fear. You are worth more than many sparrows." So here Jesus is instructing his disciples to fear Jehovah and not to fear men who might intimidate them in not being able to give a bold witness. But why does it say in verse 28 to fear Jehovah, but then in verse 31 say, have no fear? Well, in verse 28, what does it say is the result for someone who doesn't want to serve Jehovah? Well, Jehovah does not tolerate willful wrongdoing. He alone has the right to punish ones and take away future life prospects from them. So really, it's only the wicked who are terrified of Jehovah. But if we fear Jehovah in the modest sense, then we don't have to fear Jehovah in the morbid sense, but we also don't have to fear what it says in verse 31, which is talking about a morbid fear of man. Because Satan and his human agents, the worst they can do to us is only temporary. But for us, Jehovah remembers us. He values us. So we learn that godly fear is a modest kind of fear where we don't fear Jehovah himself or fear men. But there's three other kinds of fears that this world has that Satan uses to intimidate and enslave people. The first one, Satan's false religious teachings have filled people's hearts with a morbid fear of death. Satan wants us to be so terrified of dying that we'd be willing to compromise our integrity for some hollow promise. But what frees us from that? Well, notice what a 9-year-old brother named Christopher briefly said about death. He says, "The thing about being one of Jehovah's Witnesses is that while death hurts, we know we will see each other again on earth one day." So fearing Jehovah puts us in line with the resurrection hope. We will always be safe in his memory. And even when lives are threatened, we realize that this life is not all there is, and we can hold on to that hope. The second fear we don't have because we fear Jehovah is the fear of humiliation. Did you have an arrogant boss give you a hard time because you wanted to take the day off today to be here? Or you young ones, is there a bully at school that teases you for being one of Jehovah's Witnesses? Why don't we feel humiliation or embarrassment in those situations? Well, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26 says that there is strong confidence in the fear of Jehovah. Because we have taken the time to know Jehovah, we understand him in his, and his ways. And because of that, we have strong confidence in what we believe is true and right. And a proof of that is the fact that we are all here today. All over the world, Jehovah has an organization that is thriving and is flourishing, even though Satan is the ruler of this world. And no matter what he does to attack us, we continue to prosper. It's proof that Jehovah is blessing us. So when someone says, "Are you one of Jehovah's Witnesses?" we don't feel humiliation, but we feel love and we feel pride. Yes, I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses, proud to represent Jehovah. Our third and final fear is the fear of failure. You see, Satan wants you to fear that your imperfection makes it impossible for you to please God fully. Is that correct thinking? Well, you parents out there, think back to when your son or your daughter first started to walk, and you saw him take his first two steps on his own, but then he fell. How did you feel? Did you say, "You useless kid, can't even walk"? No, what parent would say that? So when we want to make a dedication to Jehovah and become a follower of Jesus, and we're trying our best to walk in his footsteps, but because of imperfection we fall, does Jehovah say, "You failure, you'll never get it right"? Is that what Jehovah's like? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, here's Jehovah's personal words to all those who want to fear him. And it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be anxious, for I am your God. I will fortify you. Yes, I will help you. I will really hold on to you with my right hand of righteousness." So if we love Jehovah, if we trust in him, then Jehovah's saying, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of failure. Don't be afraid of me. Don't be anxious, because I will strengthen you and I'll give you all the support you need to be a successful, faithful servant of mine." So with that in mind, we'd like to talk to you young ones in the audience today. Because when it comes to dedication and baptism, some young people feel that that's not the right thing to do or the best thing to do, excusing themselves as being too young or not ready for the responsibility. But is that right? Well, with that in mind, please observe the following demonstration.
Jeff, I just got my driver's license.
Well, congratulations, Ethan. I remember when I got mine. It's a good feeling knowing you're not considered a kid anymore. Tell me though, Ethan, was it easy to get your license? Were you able to just walk in the license center one day and pick it up?
No. You gotta study the rules of the road. First, you have to do a written test, and then you have to do a driving test.
So, why do you think all that was required?
Well, you have to know what you're doing. Driving can be dangerous.
Absolutely. There's a lot of responsibility when driving a vehicle. If you're not careful, you could get into an accident. You could wreck your car, you could injure yourself or others. When you think about it, that can be scary.
I know. My parents don't let me forget.
And you know what? That's why some people don't even attempt to get their driver's license. They don't want to be accountable for what they might do behind the wheel. You know, it's kind of like Christian baptism.
Baptism? What does that have to do with this?
Well, some out of fear put off making a dedication to Jehovah and getting baptized. They know that there can be consequences if they do not live up to his standards.
You know what, Jeff? I guess you could put me in that category. I know getting baptized is the right thing to do. I'm just afraid of failing. What if I mess up? My family won't forgive me, and neither will Jehovah.
Well, let's sit down for a minute, Ethan. It's good you realize how serious baptism is. It's the biggest step you'll ever take in your life. But you shouldn't hold back out of fear of failure. You didn't hold back in getting your driver's license out of fear that someday you might get into an accident. even though that could make you drive with greater caution. So why hesitate to get baptized if you qualify? You've been coming to the meetings and studying the Bible since you were little. You give good parts in theocratic ministry school, and you do well in field service.
But if I don't get baptized, I don't have to worry about the consequences of doing something wrong.
Don't be so sure about that. The Bible says if someone knows what is right but yet does not do it, that's a sin for him. So don't think that you, by postponing your baptism, you avoid being accountable to Jehovah. Once you reach the age of responsibility, you're answerable to Jehovah for the way you act, baptized or not.
Well, what age is that?
I can't say. You've probably already reached it, though.
But Jeff, I wonder if I can really live up to Jehovah's standards.
Well, Ethan, it's great that you don't want to fail as a baptized witness of Jehovah. Even Jesus had a wholesome fear in disappointing his Father. Hey, you have the JW Library app on your phone, don't you?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Good. Why don't you look up 1 John 4:18 and read that first part there.
1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts fear out."
So, Ethan, your fear is restraining you from making a dedication to Jehovah in prayer and getting baptized. But from that scripture, what will help you overcome that?
Well, it says here that love will.
That's right, love for Jehovah. As you build your relationship with Him, it'll motivate you to dedicate your life to Him in prayer, from the heart, and to do whatever it takes to live up to that dedication.
I guess this is what I need to work on.
And I know a great place where you can start.
Where?
Well, you know the Young People Ask Volume 2? Towards the end, there's a chapter on baptism. It even has some worksheets for you to go through.
Oh, I forgot that that was there.
Yeah, well, why don't you go through it tonight? If you have any questions, I'd be happy to go over it with you.
You know what, Jeff? Thanks. I appreciate it. But say, do you need a ride anywhere?
So is it worth it? So is it worth trying to always do our best to please Jehovah? Or was it worth it for Jesus? Can you think of a time where Jesus actually asked for something in return or hoped for something in return for his godly fear? Well, he did. At John chapter 17 and verse 5, it reads, and he says to Jehovah, "Glorify me at your side with the glory that I had alongside you before the world was." So Jesus, what did he ask for? He just basically was saying, "Jehovah, could I please be the angel I used to be, standing beside you?" Nowhere in the scriptures does it ever indicate that Christ Jesus expected an upgrade in the spirit realm. Nowhere does it say that Jesus even considered or knew that he would be given the gift of immortality. Can you imagine how Jesus would have felt after his resurrection and he realized he's not an angel anymore, but an immortal spirit creature with life within himself? What a gift. And the point? That it is impossible to outgive Jehovah. He always returns more than what we expend in his service. Jehovah appreciates and rewards the right kind of fear, and we have no idea what gifts he has in store for us. So in conclusion, in this discussion, we have learned from Jesus the importance of having the right kind of fear, profound reverence for Jehovah, and a wholesome dread of disobeying him, coupled with modesty and love, intense love for our God. And if we do this, if we imitate Jesus, then because of our godly fear, our strong outcries for help will also be favorably heard.
Thank you for presenting that thought-provoking information. We are comforted in knowing the love that Jehovah God and Jesus Christ have for each and every sheep.